ruach, what spirit, breath, and wind mean in the Bible. The Hebrew word ruach, often written ruah and pronounced roughly ruach, appears wherever the Bible speaks about realities that are powerful but not easily grasped, wind moving across land, breath sustaining a creature, the inner disposition of a person, and the Spirit of God giving life and power. That range can feel confusing. If one English Bible says wind, another says breath, and another says spirit, are they disagreeing? Usually they are facing the ordinary challenge of translation. One Hebrew word can carry several related senses, and the surrounding sentence decides which sense is most prominent. The connection is not accidental. Wind cannot be held, yet its effects are visible. Breath is hidden, yet a living body depends on it. Spirit is not a material object, yet Scripture describes God's Spirit as actively creating, empowering, guiding, and renewing. Ruach gathers these images without making them identical. This study asks, what does Ruach mean in the Bible by following the word through key passages? The goal is not to force one definition everywhere, but to read each use carefully and see the larger biblical pattern. Life is received, not possessed, and God can bring living hope where human strength has ended. The basic meaning of Ruach. The Blue Letter Bible. Lexical entry for Ruach lists wind, breath, and spirit among its major senses. The word can refer to moving air or wind, the breath that marks creaturely life, a person's spirit, courage, temper, or inward disposition, a spiritual being, the Spirit of God. Those meanings overlap, but they are not interchangeable. A wind from the east is not automatically the Holy Spirit. A troubled human spirit is not simply a weather report. The same word serves several related ideas, and context does the deciding work. It is also important not to build an entire doctrine from a dictionary entry. A lexicon maps possible meanings. It does not choose the meaning of every verse. Grammar, literary setting, the argument of the book, and the wider canon all matter. Ruach is not the only biblical word for breath. Readers sometimes hear that ruach means breath, and then assume every biblical mention of breath uses it. Genesis itself corrects that shortcut. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord forms the human from the dust and breathes into him the breath of life. But the Hebrew expression uses neshama, not ruach. The result is a living nefesh, a living creature or person. The distinction does not sever the ideas from one another. It reminds us that biblical Hebrew has more than one way to speak about life and breath. Word study becomes trustworthy when it notices which word is actually present. Ruach at creation, God is already active. In Genesis 1:2, Ruach Elohim moves over the face of the waters. English translations variously emphasize the Spirit of God, or a mighty wind from God. The Hebrew phrase can prompt discussion, because Ruach has both senses, and Elohim can function in more than one construction. Christians have traditionally heard this passage as part of Scripture's witness to the Spirit's work in creation. Yet the verse should not be treated as a vocabulary trick that proves every later claim about the Trinity by itself. Genesis presents God actively ordering a dark, unformed world. The fuller Christian confession about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes from reading the whole canon, especially the New Testament's teaching about Jesus and the Spirit. The Bible Odyssey reference entry on the Holy Spirit identifies creation as one of the Old Testament's major settings for the Spirit's activity, alongside the empowering of leaders and prophets and God's presence among the covenant people. That is a helpful map. Ruach is not merely an abstract substance. God's Spirit acts. Psalm 104 develops the creation theme with startling intimacy. In Psalm 104, 29-30, creatures perish when God takes away their ruach, and they are created when God sends forth His ruach. The same short movement joins creaturely breath to divine giving without confusing the creature with the Creator. Life is dependent. The world continues because God gives and renews. This is both humbling and consoling. Our life is not self-generated, but neither is creation abandoned. The God who gives breath also renews the face of the ground. Ezekiel 37, Ruach as breath, wind, and spirit. No passage displays the range of Ruach more vividly than Ezekiel 37, 1-14. Ezekiel stands in a valley filled with very dry bones. The vision interprets Israel's exile through the people's own despair. Their bones are dried up, their hope is lost, and they feel cut off. God first commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. They come together, and flesh covers them, but there is no ruach in them. A body can have structure and still lack life. Then Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the ruach. It is summoned from the four ruachot, the four winds, and commanded to breathe into the slain. Breath enters them, and they live. Finally, God promises, "I will put my ruach within you," a declaration commonly translated, "my spirit." The Hebrew and English text of Ezekiel 37 lets readers observe this repetition in one place. The same Hebrew word moves through several English renderings. Breath is absent. Assembled bodies cannot make themselves live. Wind is summoned. Ruach comes from the four directions. Breath enters. The slain stand as a living multitude. God gives His Spirit. The exiled people will know that the Lord has acted. The shifting English words do not hide the passage's meaning. They help communicate it. Ezekiel intentionally uses the word's range to portray restoration as an act only God can accomplish. The dry bones are first about exiled Israel. The vision is often applied immediately to personal discouragement or individual resurrection. Those applications can echo genuine biblical themes, but Ezekiel explains the image before readers have to guess. The bones are the whole house of Israel in Ezekiel 37:11. The people believe national catastrophe and exile have ended their future. God promises restoration, renewed covenant life, and return to their land. Christians may also hear resurrection hope in the vision, especially when reading it alongside the New Testament. But responsible application begins with Israel's historical lament. God does not dismiss the people's condition as mildly inconvenient. The bones are very dry. Hope is grounded not in their remaining capacity, but in God's Word and Spirit. That makes the passage more hopeful, not less. Scripture's hope does not require us to pretend that ruin is already recovery. It names death-like circumstances honestly and looks to the God who gives Ruach. Ruach empowers people for God's work. The Old Testament frequently describes God's Ruach coming upon people for a task. In Numbers 11:25, the Spirit rests on the elders, and they prophesy. In 1 Samuel 16:13, the Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully upon David after his anointing. In Isaiah 61:1, the speaker is anointed by the Spirit of the Lord God to bring good news, bind up the brokenhearted, and announce freedom. These passages resist two opposite mistakes. First, the Spirit is not merely a poetic name for human talent. The initiative belongs to God. Second, empowerment is not given simply to make a person impressive. God's Spirit equips people for service, truthful speech, leadership, liberation, and care for those who suffer. The prophetic texts also look beyond isolated moments. Ezekiel 36:26-27 promises a new heart and God's Spirit within the people, enabling faithful covenant life. Joel 2:28-29 promises the Spirit poured out across age, sex, and social status. God's gift is not portrayed as the private possession of an elite spiritual class. Ruach can describe the human inner life. Not every spiritual use of Ruach refers directly to God's Spirit. The word can describe a person's inward condition or disposition. A spirit may be crushed, steadfast, willing, impatient, or troubled. In Psalm 51:10-12, the psalmist asks for a steadfast spirit, pleads not to lose God's Holy Spirit, and asks to be sustained by a willing spirit. English uses spirit three times, but the relationships differ. The human inner life needs renewal, while God's holy presence must not be presumed upon. This matters pastorally. A broken spirit is not proof that the Holy Spirit is broken, and emotional exhaustion is not the same thing as God's absence. Careful reading can prevent us from turning every description of human distress into a verdict about someone's faith. It also keeps spiritual formation honest. Scripture does not imagine maturity as self-manufactured resolve. The prayer for a steadfast spirit is addressed to God. Inner renewal is received and practiced in relationship with the One who renews, from Hebrew Ruach to Greek Pneuma. The New Testament was written in Greek, so its usual word for spirit is pneuma, not ruach. Pneuma also carries the related senses of wind, breath, and spirit. That shared range helps explain why the New Testament can echo Old Testament patterns, but the words should not be collapsed as though they were the same language. In John 3:8, Jesus speaks of the wind blowing where it wills while describing those born of the Spirit. The wordplay works because Greek pneuma, like Hebrew ruach, belongs to the world of wind and spirit. The point is not that the Spirit is impersonal weather. It is that the Spirit's living action cannot be controlled, even though its effects can be known. In Acts 2:1-4, the coming of the Holy Spirit is accompanied by a sound like a violent wind. Luke says, like a wind. He does not simply identify the Spirit with moving air. The image recalls God's powerful, life-giving presence while preserving the distinction between sign and reality. Paul makes the life-giving connection explicit in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of the One who raised Jesus dwells in believers and gives life. For Christians, the biblical movement from creation to new creation reaches its center in the resurrection of Jesus and the promised renewal of God's people. How to read Ruach well when you meet wind, breath, or spirit in the Old Testament? Use a simple process. Check whether the Hebrew word is actually Ruach. An English gloss may translate several Hebrew words. Read the paragraph, not only the line. Weather, creaturely life, human disposition, and divine action create different contexts. Notice whose Ruach it is. His Spirit, my Spirit, a Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord are not automatically identical. Compare responsible translations. Variation can reveal a genuine interpretive choice rather than an error. Let a lexicon offer possibilities, not conclusions. Context selects among the possibilities. Build theology from the whole canon. Christian teaching about the Holy Spirit depends on the Bible's full witness, not on one word having several meanings. This approach protects both wonder and accuracy. Word study should open the text, not replace it. What Ruach teaches us about life with God. The biblical uses of Ruach share a quiet challenge to human self-sufficiency. Breath arrives as gift. Wind moves beyond our control. The Spirit empowers work that exceeds natural ability. Dry bones do not revive by positive thinking. That does not make human action meaningless. Ezekiel must speak the word he is given. Leaders must serve. Prophets must tell the truth. Believers are called to walk by the Spirit. Grace does not erase obedience. It makes living obedience possible. For a reader who feels spiritually dry, Ezekiel 37 offers neither shame nor a quick technique. It offers a God who sees the valley, hears the people's lost hope, speaks, and gives ruach. For a reader tempted by spiritual pride, Psalm 104 reminds us that every breath is dependent. For a community deciding what spirit-filled life looks like, Isaiah 61 directs attention toward good news, healing, freedom, and repair. Conclusion. So, what does ruach mean in the Bible? Depending on context, it can mean wind, breath, a person's spirit or disposition, or the Spirit of God. Its meanings are related, but no single English word fits every occurrence. The richest reading does not flatten the range. It listens for the physical force of wind, the fragile gift of breath, the hidden depth of the human spirit, and the sovereign action of God's Spirit. In Ezekiel's valley, these senses meet. Wind comes, breath enters, and God gives His Spirit so a people without hope may live. The lasting message is not that we have discovered a secret Hebrew code. It is that life belongs to God. The one whose ruach moved at creation, empowered servants, promised renewal, and raised hope among dry bones, is not limited by the places where our strength has run out. Further study. Blue Letter Bible, Hebrew, H7307, Ruach, Lexical Range and Concordance Uses. Sepharia, Ezekiel 37, 1-14 in Hebrew and English. Observe how one Hebrew word works through the dry bones vision. Bible Odyssey, the Holy Spirit. A concise scholarly map of major Old and New Testament emphases. This article was written and narrated by Ezra, Feason's editorial study assistant. Ezra is an AI.